Dave, before we get over to some football, maybe some baseball, basketball getting some transfers, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Bill, Mike White's definitely cleaning up in the transfer portal, which he had to. So your Florida basically lost your whole team from this past year of with guys, you know, declaring and maybe going to try the NBA or you're putting themselves in the transfer portal. But, Charleston Southern, Flanders Fleming Jr. is a guard there from Charleston Southern. Averaged 20.1 points, Bill, 7.4 rebounds. From Athens, and I know I think there was some talk that maybe he might end up at Georgia when it was all said and done. But 6'4", 210-pound guy, started 60 games for Charleston Southern, Bill. So definitely a guy who comes in with experience and, you know, just really, really filling out through the transfer portal after losing Trey Mann and Scotty Lewis, Noah Locke, Quez Glover, Omar Payne, and Asaya Sifo, who transferred here to in town in Jacksonville there. But Bill, between Myron Jones, who's a transfer from Penn State, he averaged 15.3 points a game. Brandon McKissick, a guy from Missouri, Kansas City, 17.2 points per game, and then C.J. Felder from Boston College, who, you know, more of a, you know, strong presence there, 9.7 points, you know, 6 rebounds a game this past season for him. There's your transfer. You know, this is a whole new team next year for Mike White, and I think definitely has raised the scoring profile. Based on those numbers I just I gave off there, you do wonder how that translates into SEC play. But I mean, you got a player from Boston College, a player from Penn State, so you know the level of competition those guys play in the ACC and Big Ten are very much equivalent to what you see in the SEC. And now, with Fleming coming from Charleston Southern, you know, you do maybe worry about a competition, but it's just different basketball, Bill. I mean, if you're a scorer, you're a scorer. You're going to find ways to get to the basket or put the ball in the basket creatively. So I think they've raised the scoring profile here, Bill. And to me, this is a good thing either way. However you look at Mike White, this For him getting better players, first of all, as a fan, that's what you should want. You should want the best for your team. But also, Bill, it should cement, whichever way you think about Mike White, him getting these type of players should cement your way of thinking either way. If he goes out there and does well with these players, you know, then this cements that, okay, you thought that he's the right guy and he's going to take these guys to the right places. Or bringing in this type of talent, if he doesn't win, it just shows that from the coaching acumen side that he's not getting it done. Because, you know, talking to the basketball guys that I know, they love these transfers that are coming in from Florida, and he made upgrades in some ways from this previous team. So if he doesn't get it done, if he can't get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, if he's still struggling in SEC play and goes in as a 6th, 7th seed in the NCAA tournament, then, you know, it just shows that on the coaching side, he can't get it done with a higher profile player. So to me, getting these type of players should tell us more about Mike White in 2021.
Gator Dave with us. Gators Breakdown, the podcast. Will let you know how you can get your hands on that podcast. What is the latest on the football front?
Well, really, just a lot. I mean, a lot of draft talk because of what Florida has going in. And now, you know, there's been a Peter King, you know, a famous NFL writer, I think years for Sports Illustrated or whatever, came out yesterday and said he's starting to hear a lot of Kyle Trask first-round love there at the end of the first round, whether it be a Tampa Bay to learn behind Tom Brady or to the Saints to learn there in their system as well. You know, you have Breeze retiring and you don't have a I don't think they'll be asking Kyle Trask to come in there, but I've seen him mock there a couple of times. But, you know, the places for him that he could slide in late to the first round, and that could give Florida 3 first-round players. If Kadarius Toney also goes in the first round, Kyle Pitts for sure is there. But it's funny because I was talking with our good friend Neil Blackman, and you know, kind of comparing the whole, you know, what we just said about Mike White, and then comparing, you know, if Florida goes and has 3 first-rounders, you know, you still ended up with 4 losses somehow. So it was, you know, a comparison of Mike White getting these types of transfer players and raising the talent profile, and then you look at the talent profile that Florida just had, and they could be three first-round guys, and you still ended up with four losses somehow. And you know, Florida was in the college football playoff discussion most of the year, and then and that LSU loss at the end of the year, inexcusable in the Alabama game. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about that, and you know, played them tougher than everyone else, and then Oklahoma game, make of that what you will. But, you know, still for that talent profile, you know, Florida's going to be on display when the NFL draft rolls around. But I still think it will, people will come back around and ask questions, how in the world did Florida lose four games and all that talent? And you won't look on offense. You know, must be, if you follow it close enough, more about the defense there and all the questions that surround that side of the ball.
I know they're not the same player. But what's the difference skill-wise in Mac Jones and Kyle Trask?
That's a good question. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion with that. And maybe Mac Jones a little more accurate overall there. But it's so hard to tell, Bill. And I saw this conversation actually on Twitter, I think, yesterday or the day before. And I was looking at some NFL analysts and their rankings of quarterbacks and their tape watching of both of those quarterbacks. And the big question come up is, how do you grade Mac Jones with that offense and the best offensive line in the country and the best skill players in the country? How do you grade that? Because those wide receivers are so open because they're just better than everybody. And he has all day to throw. And then when you look at Kyle Trask, where it was Ole on the right side of the offensive line with Gene DeLance. I mean, I was talking to a draft analyst yesterday on Twitter, and he was like, the one knock on Kyle Trask that he saw was him escaping the pocket too early. And I was like, well, a lot of that probably comes from the right side of the line, Bill, was so bad in pass protection for Kyle Trask and Gene DeLance there at right tackle. Just time and time again, players coming into his face from that right side. Stone Forsythe on the left side, he's getting a lot of draft love right now. He was a stonewall there on the left side, but Kyle Trask didn't get to have that on his right side. But at least on his right side, he could see it coming. It was in his face. He could see that side, and he would step up in the pocket and make some throws. But I think overall, Bill, if he's looking at it, I look at it as Mac Jones having a lot more talent around him. But I still think he probably still showed a bit more accuracy and consistency in that regard, more so than Kyle Trask. But I think there may have been reasons why Kyle Trask showed some inability to be so consistent at times, just because I don't think the talent profile was as high around him. Yes, you had Kyle Pitts. Yes, you had Kadarius Toney. But I think it was just more of those two guys. He was missing Kyle Pitts for a bit of the season, but the offensive lines, Bill, were not even close to comparable with what Mac Jones and what Kyle Trask had. So to me, it's more of a talent profile around those guys and what NFL analysts are going to have to judge on Kyle Trask, who maybe did a bit with less, and Mac Jones and him having that big talent profile around him.
When's the last time Florida's offensive line, tackle to tackle, was considered good?
Oh, in a way, Bill, I think you can go back to 2018 in Mullen's first year. Didn't start out that way, but I think by the time the end of the year rolled around, you looked at it as you definitely didn't look at it as a negative, and you had Jawan Taylor at tackle, who ended up getting picked by the Jaguars early in the NFL draft there. But to consider it a full-blown advantage for the team.
That's the point. You can't dial it up.
No, I mean, 2012, maybe, but that was such a run-heavy team, and Jeff Driscoll making plays with his legs there and out.
Right.
That was a really good offensive line that could just pound you to death with Mike Gillisley at running back. That's probably the last one I'd point to that they probably had some type of advantage there. But, Bill, you probably have to go back to the Meyer days just to say where it wasn't necessarily a worry, and they could create and make something happen, and you didn't really necessarily worry about it. But because now in 2012, the offensive line and the offense was okay, but they weren't good. You know, they on a consistent basis, still a low-scoring ball control offense.
Right.
You have to go back to the Meyer days to kind of just say, all right, the offensive line's there and not a worry, and the offense is going to go score some points.
Baseball, is it tonight? I believe Florida State, right?
Yeah, Florida State, Bill, and probably one of the most disappointing aspects of you know, the Gator Athletics in this 2020-2021 season. You know, preseason number one, not a lot of questions, and that pitching staff, Bill. I mean, starting pitching's not anywhere near where they thought it would be, but it's not terrible. But it's the bullpen, Bill, that they just can't get it going in the bullpen. They get leads and give them up, and then they just lost 2 out of 3 to Tennessee this past week there. So, Florida State, you know, it's always a game. Florida's dominated recent, but did lose the first game this year for Florida State. They don't get to play in Jacksonville this year. They usually have one game in Jacksonville. I know that's a lot of fans aren't happy about that, but it'd be Florida State and not Bill, and maybe something good can happen for Florida baseball, because I think a lot of the pressure got to them this year, Bill, and maybe they can figure it out along the way.
Tell everybody how they can get the podcast Gators Breakdown.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown, YouTube version as well, all the podcast versions out there as well, Bill. Gene Chizik, I had him on, interviewed him yesterday, so he'll be on the podcast this week. It'll be released later today for the public out there, but really good talk with Gene Chizik, Bill. A lot of people don't know. He graduated and played football at Florida in the early 80s. So, it was really good to get his take on Florida and his time there as well.
See you next week, sir.
Thanks, Bill.